again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. I'm speaking to you from a very gray but starting to warm up Vancouver winter morning. I have the pleasure today of speaking with a colleague who I've known and had the great pleasure of working with for over a decade now, although we've never been in the same institution, Jill Konkin, who is Associate Dean and Division Director for Community Engagement at the University of Alberta, has joined me to talk about a paper that she and her colleague Carol Sutterds have coming out in the May 2017 issue of Medical Education entitled Students' Experiences of Role, Relationships, and Learning in Two Clerkship Models. Jill, I'd be remiss to start with anything less than congratulations on your pending promotion. I know that you've just achieved full professor as of July 1st, and I couldn't be happier for you.
Well, thank you very much.
So this paper obviously is about some of the work that you're doing in terms of community engagement and spreading educational innovation within the Alberta system and beyond. I suspect the majority of our listeners will have some sense of what a longitudinal integrated clerkship is, but for the sake of those who might be new to the concept, can I start by asking you to tell us what that means?
Sure. So this is a collection of models of clerkship that have as an underpinning continuity. And so that would be continuity of patient care, continuity of supervision, and educational continuity, which is both place and curriculum, for want of a better word. I think the Norris paper captures the key elements of LICs, which posit that medical students participate in the comprehensive care of patients over time, that they have continuing learning relationships with the clinicians who are the primary clinicians for those patients, and then they meet the core competencies for multiple disciplines in the year that they're doing the clerkship.
And this is a set of models, as you described, that has really spanned the globe at this point. There's been a lot of research demonstrating their value and their uniquenesses. What is it about your context or your situation that made you feel like there was something unique in Alberta that would allow you to add to that literature?
Well, what we were hearing in our research program around the LIC here was some considerable angst of the students who undertake the LIC in the third year, come back into fourth year into a rotation-based clerkship, and their experiences in both. And what we had seen was in the literature, there were some studies, in particular from that wonderful group in the States, the collaborative group with Hauer and Hansen and Poncelet and Hirsch, etc., that looked at two different models of clerkship, but they were looking at students who'd only experienced one at the time. Our students are students who have done the third year in the LIC, and then a fourth-year rotation-based. And the material that is the basis of this paper comes from reflective conversations that we had with ICC students at the end of their fourth year, reflecting back on those 2 years.
Right, and at the end of that fourth year, these were students who were brought in deliberately to talk about that transition and the differences. Were there any key methodological features that you think our listeners would need to understand in order to interpret what we might talk about soon, which is your findings?
Yes, we had decided early when we implemented the program that we wanted to capture students' experiences at the end of their third year, so at the end of the LIC, and then it became clearer to us as we were going through that first year that we wanted to come back to them at the end of fourth year, partly to reflect on what their experience meant to them after a year, but also as part of that just to talk about their current experience. We did choose hermeneutic phenomenology as our frame because we wanted the students' experience to be the front and center. And so the material that we used for this particular paper was actually an Emmett question that came out from our first analysis of the material from students at the end of fourth year. So this was something that became clearer to us that this transition, or at least their experiences as they describe them and the differences between the two experiences in LIC and RBC, that there were some important things to say about that.
I started off by saying that I suspect the vast majority of our listeners know what longitudinal integrated clerkships are. I'm equally confident the same proportion won't really understand the term hermeneutic phenomenology. can I ask you to elaborate on what you were trying to do with this approach?
Sure. Well, essentially, I mean, Van Manen is our guru on the phenomenology, and it's about allowing the participants to describe their own experience, and the researchers step back, sort of, how should I say, we're going to bracket our own experience, but the intent here is to listen to the voices and not to pull out necessarily themes or classifications or whatever, but to start to get an overarching picture of what the experience was. And then the hermeneutic or descriptive part of it is to take then what we're hearing from the students and try to make some meaning of their meaning. And as we say in the paper, those that follow the phenomenological frame come to it with no preconceived notion of what you'll find, but also have to acknowledge that others reading the same material may come to some different interpretations that are complementary, that what we have is not necessarily the final word, if you catch my drift there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And at the same time, maybe we don't label them themes in this methodology, but there are some interesting results that seem to pop up that captured the essence of the transition or the difference between the two clerkship models for a good number of your students. Can you share with our listeners some of the things that surprised you most in the way that they were contrasting the third-year LIC and the fourth-year rotation-based clerkship?
I think what we found that surprised us the most as we started to look more intently at the differences was the students' experience of learning in each of the two clerkships and the impact they describe of, as we called them, affordances, following along from Gibson and Billett, that without them knowing that part of the literature, they actually gave word to the experience of what the literature talks about. So the trusting relationships, the being in the same place with people that you get to know over time, the coaching that comes from trusting relationships with teachers, and also the feeling that there's an authentic role, that what you do day to day does have an effect on patient care and the patients that you're caring for and working with are people that you are also getting to know over time. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't see a whole bunch of people that they only see once. That would be lying if I were trying to suggest that. But if you think about these students, they're in the same community for a little over 10 months. And so they will see a significant number of people more than once.
Right. And one of the things that struck me in reading about those experiences that I found particularly profound, and I think reinforces your indication earlier that one of the valuable uniquenesses of this work is that you have students who've gone through both types of experiences, was at the end of the fourth year, some of them seemed to be suggesting a feeling of loss as a result of having moved into the rotation-based clerkship. And it was a powerful word to me. I don't know if I'm overinterpreting, but it seemed as though the students felt like they had truly given up something or lost something that was valuable to them. Is that a fair interpretation? And if so, could you elaborate on it?
Certainly. And that was our interpretation, too. I think that the final quote from one of our conversations with the students speaks to that so significantly, in the sense of, in that student's words, I feel less useful this year than I did last year, less like a doctor, more like a student. And it's hard not to feel useful. And this student then goes on to talk about how it takes an emotional toll, and even says that he or she is less impressed with themselves at the end of fourth year than they were at the end of third year. That was probably one of the most powerful, but certainly not the only student to speak to that. almost all of them talked about their initial need to completely reorient their approach to learning. And where a lot of what we heard was that in third year, learning became part of their work with patients, and that learning was with, from, and about patients. Whereas in fourth year, it became much more driven by institutional requirements, so quizzes at the end of rotations, or doing what you needed to do because that's what the resident needed you to do, or the attending, but not feeling that they had relationships with anybody. I think there's one of the quotes that we have in the article that actually says, I don't think I even really knew what my role was in the whole of that fourth year. That's pretty profound when you think about the fact that the students talk about the end of their third year feeling essentially like they're quasi-doctors. They've been given responsibilities, obviously related to the fact they're still students. They're not operating beyond being supervised and observed, but that they feel they have a real role, and that has a significant impact on their motivation for learning and the way they learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that has me thinking about the practical application of your findings and what you would recommend in terms of structuring things or sequencing things, recognizing that there are always logistical constraints to any model that one takes on. And it makes me want to ask, is it better to have loved and lost or never to have loved at all? Do your students, they give you the impression that they still came away for the better? Would you recommend that the sequence be reversed? Or if you had the capacity to wave your magic wand and do what you wished, what would you recommend for others in similar positions if they were setting up a clerkship?
So to go back with your initial question, I think it is still better to have loved and lost because they don't lose it all. Right. There is other evidence from other programs that were actually potentially producing a very different kind of graduate for those that go through integrated clerkships, more patient-centered, more willing and able to take on responsibility and be accountable. And so I think that these are important kinds of programs. And I think the question then is, so part of what we've done is we actually attend to the transition between the LIC and the rotation-based clerkship with a two-week session called Transition. There's no way you can completely prepare anybody for a new experience, but at least we have some students who've already been through the transition come back and talk about it. We do know that former students who are now in residency and those that are out in practice already do still talk about the impact that that third year had on them. There are many that are talking about, should we just carry on? Should it be our last 2 years? Should you, once you're in an LIC, should you always stay in an LIC? Or are those students who've done LICs, for those of us who have four-year medical schools, do we really need the fourth year? A lot of our students say, couldn't I just write all of my end of fourth year exams now? Because I know from others, and in fact, other of our research has shown that students actually feel like they go backwards. And so there are other things that need to be thought about and potentially new research questions developed around those kinds of things. But it's certainly something that all of those of us involved in LICs that are in third year, where students go on to rotation-based fourth year, that I would say we need to be much more intentional about our thinking in that transition, first of all, but also what is it that these students potentially need in fourth year that other students might not be ready for.
Right. And that intentionality that you're describing, and again, the need to think carefully even about how we do that and get better insight into how to do so effectively, is a great note to end on, I think, because it provides some sense of anticipation. This is really important work, I think, and we're happy that you had a chance to read it and recommend it definitely to anybody who's been listening to you speak about it. I will just remind our listeners that I've been speaking with Jill Konkin, who's at the University of Alberta, about a paper entitled Students Experiences of Role, Relationships, and Learning in Two Clerkship Models. They'll be published in the May 2017 issue of Medical Education.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin.